Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, indeed. It's time for more real estate talk here on Newstalk A3OWCCO. If you have a real estate question, we always welcome yours, either by phone or by text. And that number, by the way, is now the same, 651-989-9226. Same as the text numbers, 651-989-9226. Chris and Andy back at it, and it's good to see you guys.
I know.
I was on location, as they say, last week, looking at all these gorgeous classic cars.
Andy was on location, too.
Yeah. I was.
He was somewhere you should have been. But
hot. Holy hot. Is Florida not a place you want to be this time of year? No. You walk out the door, and it's like getting hit with a hot towel in the face.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Kind of like today.
Yeah.
And yesterday.
Yeah. So what are we going to be doing today besides talk real estate?
Huh? That's what we're going to do.
All right, good.
We're going to talk a lot about real estate, but
I'll
tell you, I wasn't quite prepared. That new intro is like real fast. I kind of like it.
I guess it's kind of.
I don't know if I'm as super as it made me sound. Maybe we should go back and edit that. No. Okay. Oh, man, I tell you.
Anyways. Hey,
they're very proud of us, though. It's nice.
You know, right now, and typically, historically, around the 4th of July, the market really tends to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are starting to vacation, kind of getting out of town, and just kind of taking off. But I don't know. A bunch of our stuff is going crazy right now. And typically it would slow down, you know, this weekend and next weekend for sure. And then hopefully the following weekend starts picking up again. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, we're still seeing some great activities. And I think, Chris, that is kind of like the last several years where we've had the marketplace where you saw out of character behaviors happening, where there were people buying houses when they normally would not. And that, I think, is very indicative of the interest rates that have dropped again. I mean, 3.75 on a 30-year fixed right now is just absolutely fantastic. If you've ever wanted to borrow
not going to happen again. They're on the
way
up.
No, man, I tell you. Well, these election years, they get pretty aggressive, I think, trying to make things look to the best of whoever's trying to make these decisions and reflect it on the economy. And so, you know, the idea there, though, is as a buyer, it's a great deal because, you know, as house prices have gone up, this is a great step for us to keep the momentum going in housing where it's gone up, you know, 6-8% a year. Normally, historically, you see 3-3.5, maybe 4. So we're still a little more aggressive than normal. And jobs, you're getting raises, but you're probably not getting an 8% raise a year or whatever. You know, it just doesn't keep up. So the gap is being bridged with lower interest rates, which is kind of nice.
It's kind of fun to see, too, that people that bought 3-4 years ago are now selling again because they gained some equity and they're able to kind of move to that next step, which is fantastic. You know, a lot of people ask, when is the best time to buy? And, you know, typically what happens is we kind of talked a little about this last week, like developments that are sitting for a long time, you know, that everyone's like, oh, geez, you better not buy in there because nothing's happening. But that's when you grab them, you know, and do that. So sometimes in a slowdown effect, you know, people start worrying about, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen?
Sure.
You got to remember not the buyers aren't only worrying about that, but sometimes the sellers are and they want to be able to get out. So there might be some opportunity to be able to get some value in kind of a slow market.
Well, that's definitely the herd mentality is that we've, you know, momentum creates more momentum and interest. And so when houses are being built and sticks are being put together and you've had houses framing up and then people are like, what's going on in there? And they'll go in there and they're intrigued with the newness and the excitement of what's happening versus a development that's been sitting. The weeds are growing. You can't even read the sign anymore. It looks abandoned. Who wants to live there? Nobody. So I think the trick is right now is even if you have a slower sale, and this kind of comes into selling anything, acreage lots or whatever, making sure that the part of the lot that you want to be or the consumer will come up and pull up has to be mowed. It has to have a nice sign on it. It can't be knocked over. You have to spend the time and the effort to actually put into that marketing. That's part of the marketing, right?
Right.
And I think that that's a big thing. And if you have, like, for example, an acreage lot, like a lot of us that are selling this time of year will have, they'll list them. mow a path or make sure that there's a clear path so the consumer can walk down that path and really see what's there so they can appreciate. And then you, in turn, will get a usually fetch a higher price because the lot's valued higher.
Yeah, and you're creating a lifestyle. You're trying to lead them to what you want them to believe.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the big thing. And I think, you know, with marketing, it's not like, hey, dummy, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you just lead them with what you're talking about, and then they come up with it.
Oh, yeah.
And say, oh, my gosh, this is a hidden gem. It's beautiful.
Well, I was actually walking lots with a client this week, and we were up in Andover on these beautiful wooded lots that we have listed. And we were coming up and walking over the hill, and here's this beautiful doe standing there. And all of a sudden, you see this little head peek out, and there's a little fawn standing there. I couldn't have propped it up better than that. These people are like, oh, my gosh.
Remember Funny Farm with Chevy Chase? the neighbors, they open the cages, and the deer come running
yeah,
by.
Yeah, exactly.
But they were really naughty neighbors. But anyways, I always talk about that part. You know, before we came on air, mm-hmm. we were talking about, you know, some of the prices and stuff that have gone up a lot.
Yeah.
Now, you just said you listed a house over in kind of North Minneapolis
yep.
area.
Yep.
And you were talking about that you'd sold to investors. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably 10, 20 of them over there.
Sell them by the dozen. It was
yeah.
crazy.
And at what price were they at that time?
Oh, you know, we used to have an old rule of thumb that it was we'd pay up to $20,000 for a two-bedroom, $30,000 for a three-bedroom, $40,000 for a four-bedroom. And now those houses are selling for $150 to $250.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So some of the gains have been fantastic. But then there's also some people that we've had Jeff Sweefel in here
mm-hmm.
that talked about it that – you know, people finally kind of got out from underwater and it's good, but they never made the repairs, you know, to their
yeah.
house. And so then it's kind of like, right. hey, you got to redo the siding, you got to redo the roof.
Yeah.
But they never did it because they're like, gosh, we're underwater. Why should we do it?
Deferred maintenance, man, will just destroy a property so fast because it spreads. It goes from a bad roof to a bad ceiling to bad insulation to, you know, you name it. I mean, obviously we've all heard the horror stories, but it's a, Even in a situation where when you buy a property, you have to basically keep the property dry. I think your worst enemy is your water and everything else, as we've all had in the past, where a little oversplash in the bath can be a $30,000 problem in a kitchen below, you know. So it's like you have to be very careful with every aspect of the house. But, you know, making sure to maintain properties is probably a key thing. And you're right, Chris. I mean, you know, when you let it go, man, it just causes
Well, I think, you know, when we're kind of going in and talking to people about listing their house and
mm-hmm.
maybe they have, you know, some bad siding or something like that. I mean, that's why we really push hard to get that taken care of. Or if there's chip paint and things like that mm-hmm. to paint it, because people start thinking that costs them a ton of money, you know. And when you start doing that, when it's not just that, hey, that piece of siding is bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's because water got underneath there and now everything's deteriorated under there. We have mold inside and they start coming up with these things, and that easy fix that might have been $300-$400 is mm-hmm. now $10,000 negotiation reason for the buyer.
Yeah, we have this packet that we've handed out before where it's the seven most important critical things that you must repair before selling, Denny. And the number one thing on there that we put is the you have to repair damaged flooring. And most people can't get over flooring. You know, if there's they pull up the carpet and they paint the plywood or something, you have to get that nice flooring back down, even if it's, you know, detrimental to your budget.
That's an immediate cost. People think that's an immediate cost.
Yep.
Just like water stains. I mean,
right.
if there's water stains, and that might have happened 10 years ago,
yep.
you don't have a problem. But if you're not covering that up or you didn't take care of it,
right.
I mean, they think, that's continually leaking.
Well, or when you walk into a house and the people say, don't worry about taking off your shoes, I immediately go, uh-oh. You know what I mean? Because then immediately I'm thinking, okay, so there's going to be soiled stains throughout the house that they've maybe gotten used to, and now all of a sudden that's something that we have to address. And sometimes it's a situation where their health won't allow them to take their shoes off, or they have, you know, keep their shoes on for balance or whatever, but as they get older, and so that does happen. Or also now you've got a wheelchair that's ripping up your carpet. That stuff is going to happen, but before you sell, you really should address it.
Yeah, I think the next one is kind of crazy.
Obvious.
It kind of no that you think about it, it's like, why would that be so important?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason for it, because people think into it. But repairing torn screens,
mm.
you know, because what happens is that, I mean, a torn screen typically means someone busted it, or someone, you know, is chipping at it, or maybe there's infestation. If they're in bad shape, that typically tells another story.
Right.
You know, so if your dog was up there and scratched it, you know, well, mm-hmm. what else did they do?
Right.
You know, now I got to look under that carpet and I got to look in the corners and I got to do all that stuff.
Well,
because
and I think it's like having a stain on your shirt. I mean, people just question you at, you know, they look at that and go, well, why wouldn't they have taken care of that stain on your shirt before you went in public? But same thing with these, with the screens. As I'm looking at Chris.
Don't look.
I'm not pointing. I'm just observing. No, the general idea there is that, think about it. I mean, that is a cosmetic thing. And I don't think a lot of people realize how easy that is to fix. You bring it down to the local hardware store. They'll repair it for $15 to $25 usually per screen, depending on how big the window is and what kind of screen you pick. But they'll have them rescreened for you in a couple days, and you can have a brand new shiny house. And that also takes the pressure, Chris, off of repairing windows. A lot of people, mm-hmm. when they're older windows,
leads into other things.
Scrape them, paint them, fix the screens. Those windows might last another 25 years in that mm-hmm. house. And it's, if you leave them chipped up with that paint from having the double panes or the, you know, you have the storm window on the outside and then that moisture gets trapped in there. And it's part of the window's life cycle, but you should be conscious of cleaning that up before you sell as well.
And I'm a big person believer in that. You get the screens off all the windows anyways. You know, some yeah. people live that way and have their, you know, their windows open stuff. But to me, you know, a constant temperature mm-hmm. is much better. So they're not thinking about, oh, gosh, you know, the insulation here, the AC doesn't work, you know, because right. they're opening windows. But right. having the screens off, it's amazing how much more brighter it gets.
Oh, well, yeah, too. More light.
Just in new construction, Denny, we do that on every model we have. We purposely don't put that in there so we can maximize the view without yeah. any kind
makes
of filtration.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah, then yeah. tape them up and then, like, label them and what they are.
Yep.
And then it looks like you're super organized instead.
Uh-huh.
Wow, Chris.
How about tricks? Yeah, tricks.
I'm impressed.
All right. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll be back with more. If you do have any kind of a real estate question, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show. If you have that kind of a question, call it in or text it in. Again, same number, 651-989-9226. Chris and Andy, we do have some callers on the line. Let's see who's been waiting. Angie is calling first from Otsego. Angie, what is your question, please?
Wondering, we're planning on probably selling our house in the next year or two, and is there somebody, like, could a realtor come in and tell us, like, what projects make sense to do, like, what updates?
I'll tell you what.
That's great advice. Or
well,
great idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's what we try to get people to do all the time. But a lot of people, what they do is they try to clean it all up and have it perfectly ready mm-hmm. for the realtors to get there. But that's what we're trained to do. And I'll tell you, a big thing is that do the projects that are going to make you money,
mm-hmm.
you know, and those are the things we know. So we know a market. I mean, that's your area,
right.
you know, up in there, Andy. So, I mean, you know what projects are going to sell.
Correct.
And sell
yep.
best.
Yep. You know, I think that there's a lot of when I get a house, like, let's for an example, we were to come out to the house and look at the home. We'd walk through the house. We'd look at the exterior. But what I'm thinking while I'm looking at your house is, how does it compare to the competition? How do we compare? So if you say, let's say you want a $350,000 sale price or whatever number you pick, and I start in my head, because I've got experience in that area, I look at, what do we expect for $350,000? Well, we have to have solid surface countertops at that price point. We have to have, you know, maybe tile floors or wood floors. We might have to have some of those things. And if you don't have that, let's say that when you built that house or whoever built that house did not put in those upgraded features, you may not be getting the upgraded features price. So instead of saying, hey, let's sell for $339,900 without that stuff, we may say, if you want to go to $350,000, let's get these other things improved. And, you know, what you look at is you just do the math on it. And it you may say, gosh, we're investing $15,000 to get $20,000 back. I don't know if that's a good enough of an ROI to make that. So let's just sell it for less and get out of here. On the other hand, just basic guidance, that's something that, you know, Chris, you and I do that on a regular basis where I've got probably, I don't know, 25, 30 people that over the next year will list that we've talked to last year or the year before.
Totally.
And yep. Helped them, gave them a to-do list. I've even had where our stagers come out and actually will help them with positioning so they know what kind of furniture, what kind of wall colors, what kind of carpets and everything else. So, yeah, good strategy. Yeah.
And it's Angie. Important because I think, you know, nowadays it's you can't trick people anymore. You know what I mean?
You're too smart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you've got – I mean, they have too much information in front of them. And the thing is if you have it done right, that you're going to appeal to the most amount of people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's what you want to do, and you want to be able to create that excitement. So that goes along with pricing. It goes along with getting yeah. this stuff ready and knowing what you're competing against.
Correct.
And that's sometimes people forget that, you know. Maybe we talked to a client 60 days ago and said, hey – you know, here's your house is worth $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, let's list at $300,000 in 2 months from now. That's probably not true because mm-hmm. I'm telling you, pricing segments move all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But right. I always tell people that we can't finalize a price until the week before closing. I need to know right. what you're going to do, too. And I need to know what we're competing against.
100%. Positioning is everything, I think, in today's market. And like you're saying, Chris, the when it comes right down to it, we shoot for a certain number, but if the market moves up or down, and then depending on, let's say that the guy down the street now is at 350, but he has a pool and an extra acre of land. Boy, I'd almost wait till he sells before I list, because as an option, most people would pick that because they can get the pool for free and the extra land for free. So positioning is very important. So the time of the year that you pick, generally, now this is another thing we were just going to talk about, the time of year that you list your house or the time of year you buy a house. And, you know, you come to summertime and usually there's, you know, this time of the year, most people have already listed and sold in the spring. And so this is a great time of year because there's usually less competition, which from a positioning perspective, you can be the prettiest house at the best price this time of year pretty easy versus in the spring, you might have 30 houses that look the same as yours at the same price.
And that, here's the other thing about being prepared, like Angie's talking about. She's trying mm-hmm. to get prepared because then we can pick the best market. And it's kind of like a townhouse complex. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, four of them pop up and none of them are selling.
Right.
That's not a great time to go on. But all of a sudden, you have four of them go up and they've all gone pending.
Right.
Let's get it on the market now fast.
Right, right.
You know, and that, now we can get probably more money because there's obviously people coming after that.
Well, that and then, you know, the other big factor that a lot of us, you know, kind of forget about if we have older kids is that children and schools. And when does school start? Can they get into that new house before school starts? And you still can right now with an existing house. Most people can get that house up for sale, get it marketed, get it sold and closed, you know, a week or two before school starts so it doesn't drive mom and dad crazy trying to get everything.
See, I don't think school is a huger thing anymore. Maybe up in your territory, but
we educate our children, Chris.
Oh, you do? They go to school? Okay, yeah. Weird.
We don't all homeschool like you.
Yeah, right. No, my kids are – no. But I think, you know, with people with schools and private schools and
teasing
doing a bunch of that. But, yeah, I think that used to be a huge thing. I mean, a monster thing that, hey, you have to have it listed by now because they have to be able to move in.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now – I go to Minnetonka. I drive my daughter to school every day and – I mean, I'm with about 700 other people that are driving as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like no one's on the buses anymore. So I think,
right.
you know, that's just one of my
favorites. I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a break, look at weather, and we'll have another half hour of the show to go. Chris, stand by. You're going to be first up here when we come back after the break. If you have a question, 651-989-9226. Both phone call and text number are the same. And good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on CCO. If you have that kind of a question, call it in or text it in. Same numbers, 651-989-9226. Chris and Andy, let's go back to the phones. We mentioned that Chris would be next up here from Maple Grove. Go ahead, Chris, with your question. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, guys. Say I have a Rambler with an existing two-car garage, and I'm wondering how much sense it makes to connect that to the house. Giving me a three-car garage and having to be able to go right from the garage to the house.
Does it? Do you have an easy access and an easy way to do it, or is it going to be a big, big project?
No, it's pretty much straight. There's actually the space between them is just enough to put another stall in there.
Perfect.
I think that's great, and I think you add a little mudroom on there, and then you're giving people something. I mean, obviously, it's a detached mm-hmm. garage right now, correct? Oh, is he gone? Oh, it's a detached garage?
Yes, it is.
And so you're adding it in. So you're going to have mm-hmm. a big benefit. But at kind of adding in a mudroom too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big thing because you don't get that in those types of houses.
Right, right. Well, and a lot of times too, we'll see where people will put like a really nice breezeway, which becomes like a three-season porch with windows on both sides. And it just adds to the house. And I think, you know, a lot of buyers, you know, from just a security perspective, really appreciate being able to pull into the garage and have the security of, you know, being able to connect right to the house, too. Even in a beautiful area like Maple Grove, it's a peace of mind kind of thing.
Yep. Okay, we got some text questions. All right, we got to put these together. I think this one's really interesting because that they're asking a realtor this, but what is an easy way to balance air conditioning on three levels? Basement is freezing upstairs, is hot. We shut the vents off of the basement, but still not getting enough cold air in the upstairs. And I don't know. Maybe that was for Lindis, but I'm telling you what, we get these questions all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, all the time. And we're dealing with them. And I'll tell you what, I've dealt with that before. And then obviously you do have to turn the vents off in the basement,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you need a blower to push it up. We had a two-story yep. like that one time, and it's amazing what it did. They just put a blower fan with inside the duct, mm-hmm. and it got the – it totally balanced out all the
air conditioning.
This
would be an added blower to the yeah. already forced air system?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. And it really works good. But, yeah, you're obviously that your upstairs is always going to get, you know, warmer, but you can kind of mitigate that a little.
Now, you know, and I just had another project we worked on where this exact scenario happened where they ran a new trunk line for us up to the upper level where – it was running to the main level and the upper originally, which is a cheaper way to do it. It saves you about $800 when you're doing new construction to do it that way. We had a new trunk line run all the way up exclusively to the upper level, and then they did a variable speed fan on the furnace, which allows the furnace to really pump it up. So, like, let's say at, you know, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, you really want it to be 70 degrees in your bedrooms at night so you can sleep when it was cooler. This furnace system that we did actually allows that to happen where this, I mean, it's almost like blowing at the speed of a normal like fan, house fan coming out of the vents, and that never happens. Most people just barely sneaks out, irks out of those vents. So variable speed fans are something kind of cool. They're very efficient, and then they're allowed to concentrate into those higher speed pipes, you know, like that, so they'll actually crank it upstairs. I'm not an HVAC guy, but I have experienced it from a consumer perspective, right. And I love it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, like you said, you know, it's kind of surprising that maybe that we would get that, but
yeah.
I'll bet you we get more calls about home improvement stuff and doing mm-hmm. that, then we get calls to sell their houses.
Interesting.
Yeah. A lot.
What about, let me ask you a question. What about those individual, like, I call them the hotel room style air conditioning heating supplement units that, you know, I had a client of mine, we helped them buy a house on Summit Avenue a few years back, and they did not want to go through the trouble of reframing up the house to put the trunk lines up, so they did individual room units. And, oh, my gosh, it was fantastically cool and very efficient, too. So you could actually just cool the room that you're in versus cooling this whole, you know, 12,000-square-foot house. And what a neat way to do it. What do you think about resale, Chris? Do you see that as a positive or as a negative with those individual units?
To be honest with you, I was looking through all the other text questions. I thought you were going to say something, so I really wasn't listening.
Denny,
to you.
Since you're listening, what no. do you think, Denny?
I would think it's a positive because we experienced those very things when we were in Australia
yeah.
at a CCO tour. Mm-hmm. First time I had seen those, and you're right. They really work.
Yeah.
I would think it's a positive.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that there's it's some of this new technology that we have to get used to. You know, I mean, and you look at the old technology, the radiators and the whatevers, that's actually great, you know, efficient and everything else too. So it's like some of these old ideas are coming back, but the idea of having an upstairs, instead of spending, you know, $15,000, $20,000 on reworking an HVAC system, which you would struggle to get a return on, maybe you put in one of those $4,000 units upstairs and you put it in the three bedrooms and it's just an easy fix.
Well, I can't wait to listen to the podcast, see what you guys are talking about. But anyways, what do you think?
We're talking about pizza.
Oh, good.
That pizza.
Yeah. What do you think of luxury vinyl for a $600,000 house? See it all the time.
Well, I see it all the time. I don't know if I agree with it, but I see it all the time, yeah.
Oh, 800. Maybe that's 800,000. Wow. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, you get that a lot. I mean, some of that luxury vinyl looks exactly like a tile, mm-hmm. and it looks like a wood product as well. And it's just a lot easier to kind of keep up.
Well, I was listening to Andy Lindis on the show before us, and he was saying that we could do steel and some of these LP products
yeah.
and very similar when you do the higher quality vinyls at a very similar price. And I would agree that the seamless steel or some of this LP products that are out there are fantastic. And one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of the LP right now, because I do a lot of new construction with that product, you can get very creative with the paint colors. And then let's say you live there 10 or 15 years, and then you say, you know what, I want to update the look of the house. You can. The other stuff you can't touch, you can't update, you can't recolor. LP, you can repaint and give your house a very valid, fresh, updated look.
Yep. No, that's so good. Okay, someone listed their lake home in Maple Grove almost 30 days ago with a company. And it says, what should I expect from my realtor? I only see that he has it on the MLS, the Edina website, Zillow website, and I'm constantly bombarded by ads from other realtors on Facebook and pop-up ads. So I think they're asking what they should expect from their realtor. I mean, a lot of people use Facebook and social media to go after a certain demographic that they feel that house is going to appeal to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what you're seeing on as far as the Facebook ads. You know, and it might be something like if you like something on the lake, you might be getting a bunch of different lakeshore stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is kind of hitting you and kind of one of those things. There's a fine line, though, from getting bugged by those ads and versus, you know, giving them quality information and trying to push them towards you. But here's the thing about MLS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, MLS is the thing that does all of the things that you're talking about. So what we have on our MLS, I think it's most important what we put on there. You know, because then that's what gets sent out to all these other websites. It syndicates. And a lot of times we can't control – well, we can't control those other websites. We can control what's put into ours. Mm-hmm. But when it syndicates to other websites, they might read bathrooms differently.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have a five-bedroom, five-bath, but you have two half-baths. They might say that's just one bath, and so it's a five-bedroom, four-bath on a different website.
Right.
You know, and so it's things that we can't control. But I think if you're – if you do it right on the MLS, and I think even more importantly, you do it before you get on the market. If you do it right before you get on the market, that's your biggest thing. And a lot of people say, oh, geez, you know, we'll price it and we can always come down. You know what? People come into your house the first day and they don't think about you coming down.
Well, and I think there's a different angle on this question, though, too, Chris, that you could take is that that texter was thinking, is my agent giving me any marketing? Are they doing anything other than just putting it on the MLS and sitting back and crossing their fingers waiting for it to sell? And so what I always say is when you have that question in your mind, take the time. You both have a lot of time invested. You both have a lot of – it's a big investment for you. It's a big investment usually for the agent as well. Sit down and have a face-to-face meeting and talk about what you expect from them. And I think as long as your expectations are clear that you want to see all copies of all marketing, you want to see when those ads go out, you want to see a screenshot of the – you know, even if it is a very specific, you know, demographic, you know, on Facebook that you've bought in a regional area that you still want to see a copy of it just to see what's happening, that's fair. I mean, I think our team spends quite a bit of time giving copies of our ads that we run out just so that people can see that we're putting the effort into it. But what's also another quick indicator, too, is if you've been on the market for 30 days in Maple Grove on a great lake and you've actually in the heart of summer, something's wrong. Either the house is either overpriced, it's not pretty enough, or there's some kind of an issue with it, that I would really take the time to reevaluate the situation you're in right now.
There you go. Okay, so we were talking about different things, types of repairs to sell a house, and we got all the phone calls, which is great. We'll take those anytime. But how about a lawn that's dying or in disrepair, Mr. Prasky? Kind of an important
thing.
Depends
on if you
do.
Like mowing grass.
Yeah, true. Just fill it with mulch.
Yeah.
No.
Just, yeah. Well, there's a house down in Marshall, Minnesota. Those that live down there know the one I'm talking about. It's by the river, by the baseball fields. The guy rocked his whole yard. I think it's awesome. It's like, talk about no maintenance. I mean, it's just the whole thing got rocked.
Arizona feel.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, having a lawn that's dying is not a good thing. You got to keep that watered. You got to keep it green. That is your first impression.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that we talked about and –
well, that actually, Chris, on this list right here, we have the outdoor improvements list, you know, for residential features.
Well, and you've got so many lists.
I know. I'm a list guy. Denny, I like my organizing my thoughts.
Yeah.
No, but we actually have through Realtor.com, they actually put out – or the National Association of Real Estate Agents put out in one of the number one highest ranking – curb appeal items is to have the just standard lawn care service where it's taken care of and it's done. And landscape maintenance was number two. So that means that the shrubs are trimmed up, the weeds are pulled, there's no weeds growing in the driveway, the grass is nice and short that you've edged. One of my favorite things to do on a property is to edge
it.
Yeah, the driveways, edge the sidewalks, and everything looks crisp and clean. I'm kind of weird, but I mean, if you come to look at my house, I like that just like a crew cut, just flat and perfect.
No, which is good. I mean, when you're talking about edging, you're not talking about doing a plastic thing. You're talking about just a sharp edge on the grass.
Yeah, itself. They have the metal blades that actually will cut the grass and actually burrow an edge.
You have so one of those things?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
awesome. I do it every 2 weeks.
Yeah. All right. I tell you what. I think I'll do that later today. As a matter of fact. Well, maybe it's a little too hot.
I think Andy should do it at my house too.
All right. Mm-hmm. We'll ask him. Hang on. We have more show to come. If you have a real estate type of question, call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226. Same number for the text. And good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show. You have a question via phone, 651-989-9226. Same number for your text question as well. Chris and Andy, we are going to go back to the phones. Tim is calling from Lionel Lakes, I believe. Tim, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question. I have three finished lots that I developed. I did a minor subdivision, and it's hard to find a realtor or advice in getting the fair market value by municipality of what a sewered and watered finished pad ready lot is worth. Do you have any advice for me there?
What are you in Centennial Schools?
Actually, I'm 0.3 mile outside of it, but it's open enrollment. I'm actually in Forest Lake.
Okay, so Forest Lake makes a big difference. We see lots in Forest Lake with city sewer and water from $65,000 up to about $109,000 for city lots. So depending on if it's their flat lots or smaller or their acreage or normal city lots, that the price would vary between that. You get over into Centennial where you're actually in the school district because a lot of times that district is not open enrolling anymore. It's very full. That district is in such demand, you could probably up that number $25,000 to $30,000. Pretty easy.
Yeah, makes a difference. School district makes a big,
big
difference.
Big time.
Any other questions on that?
Did that answer your question, Tim?
Yeah, thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right,
thank
you.
And I'd probably have a buyer for those if you're interested. Just call me, Tim. Andy@Prasky.com.
Would the buyer be AndyPrasky.com too?
Maybe. No. That'd be.
Maybe a certain builder that you know?
I've only got 8 developments in that neighborhood, but
okay. So there's one more thing on the 7 most important repairs.
Uh-oh.
What do you think? I mean, it's something we talk about a lot. Joanna Gaines does too.
What's that? Updating your grout?
Kitchen.
Oh.
Your kitchen and your grout, of course, your grout. But you know, that's interesting when you say that whole grout thing. What does that tell you? That you've been taking care of the house, you've maintained it, and if grout is missing, what do people think?
Oh, immediately
water
the house is falling apart, water problems,
yep.
Or re-caulking all of those areas that are on the edges, and that everybody hates to do it, but you just take the razor blade, cut it out of there, re-caulk it, and then with grouting, I think I'm one that I like to hire the professional to bring in a tile expert because I like the grout to look really nice, so, you know, but it's something that I think it's worth the investment.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think the kitchen, too. To me, the kitchen is one of those things that, and I say this a lot on this show. I've been saying it a lot for over 10 years. It depends. It depends on what everything else looks like. And that's the thing. When I go through a house, the first thing I do is I sit down with the people, kind of talk to them, kind of get their feelings for stuff. And then you walk around the whole thing. And a lot of people start wondering, well, should I replace this? Should I replace this? And I said, you know what? Let me get through the whole thing. Let's check it outside. And then we'll talk about like what repairs you can do. Because there's at some point, it's like, you know what? I don't think it's going to pay off for you to do that. And then some others, like this one house, they've done everything. And there was one thing that was kind of missing. Mm-hmm. And I said, you've got a curse because people are going to come in this house and think, my gosh, I'm trying to find something that's wrong with it. So these other two things you have to do now because it's so perfect, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny. But on some other houses, I might leave 10 things unperfect because it's just too much.
Right, exactly.
And they're not going to get their money back.
You know? Yeah. You know, you have to be – I think there is a balancing act there, and there's diminished returns where you get to a point of where you keep investing beyond what you're going to get back, and it makes you feel good, but the market doesn't care. So that's where, again, coming back to what do we suggest is I really would talk to the professionals. I mean, if anything else, you want to talk to the interior design team or the staging team that can help you position your furniture and help you make selections on colors. I think even the local, you go to the local tile shops or countertop places and they're going to, you know, don't spend a lot, but get into what is the most popular color. Well, this one over here is the most popular. And I'm fine with kind of following the trends because remember, you're getting that house positioned to sell it, not to live in it. So
it's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And then I think people tend to forget that too. Well, we still have to live here. And I say, you know, that's great, but we're trying to attract a certain type of person here that wants to make it their own. And so when you see, the photos, the family photos from age 6 months to, 18 years for every kid, you can't have that.
Right.
You have to get that out and, but there's –
Well, let me ask you another weird question because I've dealt with this, it seems like, a couple times this spring where – what do you think about the basement? So let's say you have a 1,000-square-foot Rambler and everybody else is selling the same square footage. And in the basement, now one house has all paneling that's been put up, the wood paneling, versus the house that actually spent the time to have it drywalled and trimmed. What do you think for resale? What is the better solution or more desirable solution?
What would I do with the paneling? I'd paint the paneling for sure.
Yeah. As a minimum.
Absolutely. I mean, now are you saying
you think you need to replace it?
Sheetrock it and do all that stuff?
Yep.
I think it depends what you got for a ceiling there too.
Right. Yeah, if it's a 6.5-foot, barely clear at ceiling, you're right.
Totally. Because I think some people look at, and it depends kind of what how many bedrooms are upstairs, you know. So is it going to be a kid house? I mean, because now that basement can become a play area.
Right.
Because we always say this, you know, you can have the greatest bar in the world that sits in that basement. Mm-hmm. You probably use it two times a year, two or three times a year. But your kids can go down there and play. And some people might look at it
play
like that.
Play in the bar?
No, in the lower level. In the lower level. You know. Oh, geez.
Is that your homeschooling again?
He's mad I didn't listen to him. If he only knew the truth.
He carries
that
a
Denny tells me what you tell me.
He carries a grudge.
Yeah.
I don't. Only all the time. Not all the time. No, but you're right. Though I think that, you know, lighting down in a basement and those some of those things that are really pertinent to resale value, like you go down into a gloomy, dark, paneled basement, and it's got a cool bar in the corner from 1950, which is actually now retro and cool again. But the whole basement doesn't really – it's not a place you'd want to hang out or live. I do suggest, though, in some of those areas, you drywall the walls and actually get all the electric up to speed and make it safe and bright. Put some can lights in there. Get that egress window in there if you're going to live down there.
Because and I'll give you a hint.
Oh.
Smell.
Yes.
The smell of a basement.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Make sure it's not musty. That's for sure. Good ventilation is very important, you bet.
So I think that's a lot. Plug my nose. That's what I was trying to tell you.
I had no idea where you're going with that. But but a lot of times people don't have the good air returns in the basement. Again, upgrading your HVAC system, that would be a great opportunity to put some cold air returns down there and get that air circulating in that basement. A lot of people didn't. They just put the air dumps and not the returns. So it's just pushing air down there, but it has nowhere to go. So then it has that musty, stinky basement.
But it's really good to, like, if you have a vacant house, just open that baby up and leave it open for 4 hours. You know, just get fresh air through there.
For sure.
I know we, have a minute to go, but an unfinished basement is not necessarily a bad idea.
I love unfinished basements because, it's an open palette for somebody to create what they want. Yeah, you bet.
Exactly. And then they can kind of bring their taste into the basement. Mm-hmm. They can justify it that way, or they can say, hey, gosh, darn it, my kids can go down there and play hockey.
Hockey, you know, roller rink, bikes, whatever. Yep.
Totally.
So, any open houses this weekend, and what about next?
Lots. Mm-hmm. Lots of them. You can go chrisrooney.com. I know you've got a little website, too.
Prasky.com. Yeah. What's our lowercase?
Andy, and Rooney, capitalized, .com. Andy and Rooney.
It's the story of my life, Danny.
No, it's not. We're just going with it.
You're just,
it's Andy and Rooney.
Andy and Rooney.
It's a shared thing to be able to get a hold of us. So if that one, Angie and Otsio?
Or if you have show ideas or whatever else, you can also contact us there, too. We'd love to hit your topics.
Awesome.
Well, have a safe 4th of July, and we'll do another real estate show coming along next Saturday morning as well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.